Welcome to the Torah Tumecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hanaleah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shoftim, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7. We ended last Perek with the picking of Gideon from the Shevet of Menashe to be the new Shofet, to be the new judge who is going to stand up and protect the Jewish nation. Gideon comes from a relatively obscure family, and he wasn't quite sure. Are you sure that you want me? Are you sure that I'm the right one? And after three tests that he asked Hashem to do to prove that, yes, I really actually do mean you, and you will be the one to save the Jewish nation, he gathers people to come and fight the war. The war is against the enemy of Midian, who has gathered together a huge army together with Amalek and Bnei Kedem. Their army had 135,000 people. Gideon's army had a mere 32,000 people, roughly 1 to 4, one Jew to every 4 Midianites. But Hashem tells Gideon, surprisingly, in Pasuk Beis, in verse 2, Vayomar Hashem al Gideon, Hashem says to Gideon, Rav ha'am asher itach, you've got too many men with you, mititi es Midian biadam. I can't give Midian into their hands to so many people. Why? Pen yisba'er alai Yisrael. I am scared that the Jews are going to glorify themselves on me, Lamar saying, Yadi hashieli. You know why we won this war? We won this battle because we are so strong. Now again, there's still 25% of the strength of the Midianite army, but Hashem says, at this time, at this stage, when we're in a really hard stage, as we discussed yesterday, that the Jewish nation has known, the victory is going to have to be huge, and it's going to have to be clear that the victory comes straight from Hashem. And so there's going to be a process here. First in Pasuk Gimel, in verse 3, Mi yared v'chared, yashov v'yitzpar mehar ha-gilad. Anyone who is scared should go down from Har ha-gilad, go home. The word v'yitzpar comes from the word safra, in the morning. You can go quietly down the mountain in the early morning so nobody should see you, so nobody should know that you're scared. Scared? Scared of what? So it's not that they're scared of Midian. They know that Gideon has been appointed and they know that he's going to win. They're scared of themselves, meaning they're scared that they possibly have sinned. And we have this halacha, usually in a milchemes rishus, which means in an offensive battle, but here, even in this battle, which is a defensive war, Hashem tells Gideon, I don't want anyone who is scared that perhaps they have a sin. It's amazing to think that there were people who could even stay there. 22,000 left. 22,000 left, and they said, you know what? It's possible that we've sinned. We don't want to be here. If Hashem says that anyone who possibly has a sin shouldn't be here, we're going home. 22,000 leave. There's still 10,000 who are left, and now we're 1 to 13 and a half. One Jew for every 13 and a half enemies, and yet Hashem said, still too many. And there's an added danger now that because all these people are courageous and brave, they'll even more so attribute the success to themselves. We have to do one more test. And he says in Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Horeid osam el hamayim, bring them down to the water, ve'etzrefenu l'chasham. I'm going to purify them there. Purify them like we purify gold. I'm going to take out all the impurities and I'll leave you with a pure army. Hashem calls the 10,000 people down to a river and tells them, I want you to drink. In Pasuk Vav, we see, Vayihi mispar hamelakikim biyadam el pihem, 300 of them take the water out of the river, pick it up to their mouths, and they lick it from their hands. V'chol yeser ha'am, but the rest of the nation, karu al berchehem l'shtot mayim. They get down on their knees, and they crouch down to the water, and they drink straight from the well. And Hashem says, I want the 300. I want the 300 who picked up the water with their hands. Now, what is the problem with bending down to the river? So first of all, picking up the water with your hands shows some restraint. It shows some refinement of character. But it's possible also that those who bend down on their knees We're used to seeing people bending down on their knees to serve the idols. Now, it cannot be that any of these 10,000 people were idol worshippers, because if they were, they would never have stayed. All those who were scared of a sin had already gone home, so they were not idol worshippers. But perhaps they were lacking the sensitivity. Perhaps they had seen it too many times. Again, there was nothing wrong with what they did, but it showed something about them, perhaps of their character, or perhaps that they had seen it too much or lost their sensitivity to people bending down on their knees. So Hashem tells Gideon, Vayomer Hashem al Gideon, Bishlosh me'ot ha'ish ha'melakakim oshia eschem. With the 300 people who lick, who pick up the water and lick, I will save you. V'nasati es midjan b'yadecha. I'm giving you midjan in your hands. And now we are down to one Jew for every 450 of the enemies. Gideon could have started with 300. Hashem could have said, find me 300 people. But now everyone knows that he could have fought with 32,000 and chose not to. And perhaps also everybody knows to what extent idol worshipping, Avodah Zarah, is hated, that even a subconscious action is judged so severely that they can no longer be part of the main army. Something surprising happens in Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Vayhi balayla hahu, vayomer elav Hashem, Kum raid b'machana Gideon, I want you to go down to the camp. And I want you to hear what the enemy is talking about in Pasuk Yud. Ten v'im yorei ata laredes, and if you're scared to go down, raid ata ufura na'archa el ha'machana. You and Fura, your boy, should go down to the machana, should go down to the camp. Hashem is saying, I get it if you're nervous. Hashem is not commanding him not to be nervous. If he was nervous before, surely after sending home most of his people, he would be even more nervous. And really, it might be deeper than that. It's also that he has to come to terms with the fact that there are only 300 people who are entirely pure from the sin of Avodah Zarah. Of all the 32,000 people who came, certainly he can use some chizuk here. Certainly he can use some strengthening, some bolstering. And the scene, as it's being described, is indeed very frightening. In Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12, U'midyan va'amalek v'chol b'nei kedem noflim ba'emek, but ka'ar belarov. And Midyan and Amalek and b'nei kedem, they are laying across the valley like locusts. That's how many they are. U'ligmalehem ein mispar. And to their camels there is no number. Kachol sha'al shpas hayom larov. They are spread out like the sand on the beach, on the seaside. It's petrifying. But then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, he overhears a dream. He hears one soldier saying to the other, I had a very interesting dream. V'hinei tzlil lechem sa'orim mishapech b'machane midyan. There's a round bread of cake, of barley cake, rolling into the camp of Midyan. V'yavo ad ha'ohel, and it comes to the tent, v'yakehu, and it hits the tent. Vayipol, and it falls down. Vayavcheu lema'ala, and it turns it upside down. V'nafal ha'ohel, and the tent falls. Now this is a very interesting dream and a strange dream, and it is interpreted by a fellow Midianite soldier. Vaya'an re'ehu, and his friend responds to him, and he says, Vayomer ein zos bilti imcherev Gideon ben Yoash. This barley cake, this is the sword of Gideon, the son of Yoash, Ish Yisrael, that Jewish man, Nasan ha'alekim b'yadayas Midyan ve'es kol ha'machana. It's got to be that Hashem has given him Midyan and the whole camp. What is this dream? What could it possibly mean? And to understand it, we have to know where we are in the calendar. Like we said, that the whole story of Gideon starts on Pesach. And now it's the night of Tesai and Nisan, the day that they cut the barley for the yearly Karban Omer, the sacrifice that was always brought on the second day of Pesach. This sacrifice comes from barley. Barley is the lowest of all grains. We eat it today as a food, but in those days it was really looked at as animal food. The question here is, it's very difficult to understand why Hashem is sending him down and why Gideon is going to be reassured more from hearing from a goy, from a non-Jew, from a soldier, from a random soldier, than the three tests that he did in yesterday's parak. where Hashem himself was showing him b'nevuah that I am going to take care of you. But it could be that what Gideon was trying to figure out here is, how is this going to work? Why is this going to work? With which merit are we going to be saved? And the Alshech says, you are right, Gideon. The Jews are not really ra'oi. They don't have the merit to get the great miracle that they're going to have here. But I want you to know that the same way that we bring barley on Pesach as a carbon omer, and barley is from the lowest grain, perhaps what it represents is that the Jews leaving Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt, they weren't on such a high level. In fact, they had hit the lowest of the levels. They were on the 49th level. They almost didn't make it out. The way it's described is they were like a fetus in their mother's stomach, meaning the relationship that they had with Mitzrayim, with the Egyptians, was they were so connected, they were so similar, they were also idol worshippers. So why did the Jews get to go out and the Egyptians not? And Hashem says that yes, you could be on the lowest level, but if you have emunah, you have faith in me, if you believe in me, I will swoop in and I will pick you up and I will save you. Like they were saved back then in Mitzrayim, and like we remember by bringing the carbon omer from the lowest level, which is where we were until we counted ourselves up to Har Sinai, I'm going to save you too, even if you don't have the proper level. This is what he needed to hear. This is what gives Gideon the strength, that yes, march on, you're going to win. In Pasuk Tesayin, verse 16, Vayachatz shlosh me'os ha'ish shlosha rashim, he takes his 300 men and he divides them into three different groups. Vayitain shofaros biyad kulam, he gives each one a shofar, v'kadim rekim, and empty pitchers, v'lapidim, and torches, betocha kadim, inside each torch. In their right hand they have a shofar, in their left hand they have the torch, and they each had a pitcher with the torch inside the pitcher, and they blow the shofar, they break the pitcher, and they making a lot of noise, and they're shouting, Cherev laHashem v'leGidon, the sword is for Hashem and to Gideon, meaning the strength, our strength comes from Hashem through Gideon. He is doing this at Rosh HaAshmores HaTichona, in the middle section of the night, at midnight, because this is when many, many miracles happen to the Jewish nation. Now, this type of nace that happens, this type of miracle, is a miracle that happens through nature, meaning that obviously this is miraculous. We've got 300 men surrounding a camp with hundreds times more than them and showing their exact location by setting off a torch. But still, it was done as making a lot of noise and making the enemy feel like perhaps the army of Gideon was much bigger than it is. What was really going on here? Gideon is trying to evoke the memory of Matan Torah, where there was a shofar blowing, where there was fire. And he wanted to say, Cherev laHashem v'leGidon. The sword comes from Hashem through Gideon. When we learn Torah, when we're Torah true Jews, when we are connected to what's real, when we're connected to our heritage, when we connect back to that moment at Har Sinai, it's a very interesting battle tactic. The soldiers have both their hands, not fighting a war, but in the declaration of faith, in that reconnection to the time of Matan Torah. And it works. There's a great confusion in the camp. Pasuk Chafala, verse 21, Ve'yamdu ish tachtav saviv l'machaneh, and each man stood where he was around the camp, Ve'yaretz kol ha'machaneh, and they start to run around, Ve'yariu, and they're blowing shofars, Ve'yanusu, and they're running, and the 300 are just standing there around the camp and continue to blow, and the enemy was also blowing now, and they're running, and it's amplifying the noise and the confusion. So, by the Jews just standing in their place, the Midianim thought that there's a much greater army. And then they started to fight against themselves. And the shofaros kept blowing, and the running keeps going on, and the noise and the lights. In Pasuk Chaf Gimel, when the people who had been sent back heard about the great nace, they came themselves to help chase the Midianim away. And in Pasuk Chaf Dalet, verse 24, Umalachim shalach Gideon b'kol har Ephraim. Now he is going to call the tribe of Ephraim, and he says to them, Redu lacrosse Midian, go run and catch Midian, vilechtulahem esamayim, and catch them by the water. They're coming to the water, they're approaching you, they're going to get to you. Capture them there, and don't let them go past the Yarden. Find them and keep them there. And indeed, this is what Ephraim does. And in Pasuk Kaf Hei, vayilkadu shnei sarei Midian es orev ve'esaev. They capture two of the greatest generals of Midian. Their names were Orev and Ze'ev, and they brought their heads to Gidon. We will continue this war. This war is not over. The Perek is, and we'll continue learning about this victory in the next Perek tomorrow. Thank you for learning in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Friedman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Aleihem HaShalom, Neshot Chayil, who lived with utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the families of Klal Yisrael. Nina and Chaim Schenker.